Radio Prague News.
The Czech Lower House has approved the state budget for next year. The ANO party has emerged on top of a new survey of voter preferences. And the president's chief of staff, Vratislav Mynář, has applied for security clearance 9 months after assuming his post. The lower house of Czech parliament on Thursday approved the state budget for next year. The budget projects a deficit of 112 billion crowns, 12 billion more than this year. The deficit is not expected to exceed 3% of the country's GDP. The budget put forth by the outgoing interim Czech government was backed by 109 MPs of the emerging coalition, while centre-right Civic Democrats and Topo 9 deputies voted against. MPs of the Communist and Dawn parties abstained from the vote. The budget bill is now to be signed into law by the president. A new poll by the STEM agency suggests that the ANO party would win a general election with 22.4% of the vote, 2.5% ahead of the Social Democrats. Communists would come in third with 17% of the vote, followed by the Topo 9 party, Dawn, the Civic Democrats and the Christian Democrats. The survey suggests that the ANO, Communist and Dawn parties would now receive more votes than they did in October's general election. The Czech president's chief of staff, Vratislav Mynář, has applied for security clearance with the National Security Authority 9 months after assuming his post. Mr. Mynář applied for the top-secret level clearance. President Zeman said earlier his chief of staff would have to leave his post if he fails to apply. Mr. Mynář explained that it had taken him so long to apply because he needed to collect hundreds of documents relating to 20 years of his professional and personal life. The Christian Democrats are ready to continue in coalition talks with the Social Democrat and ANO parties, even if the broader Christian Democrat leadership rejects the latest proposal on distribution of ministerial posts, party leader Pavel Bělohrádek said on Thursday. Christian Democrats have been offered the portfolios of labor and social affairs, environment and transport. However, the party said earlier it would not join the next government without taking over the Ministry of Agriculture. The Christian Democrat leadership is set to discuss the proposal later on Thursday. Businessman Daniel Křetínský is set to take over the Ringier Axel Springer CZ Group, which publishes the Czech Republic's best-selling tabloid Blesk and other titles, the news website idnes.cz reported. The deal should be done in the next week, the news website said. Mr. Křetínský is co-owner and head of Energetický a Průmyslový Holding, in which the PPF Group is also a major shareholder. He is reported to be planning to buy the media group, which also issues the daily Sport and the weekly Reflex, in cooperation with other investors, including Patrik Tkáč, who is also involved in Energetický a Průmyslový Holding. Czech MPs have voted to lift the parliamentary immunity of Deputy Bronislav Schwarz of ANO to allow the police to investigate him on criminal charges. He faces abuse of power accusations in connection with an incident in 2006, when, as a local police chief, he ordered that suspects be cuffed during an unauthorized raid of a flat where drug-making equipment was found. Mr. Schwarz was elected to the Chamber of Deputies at the end of October, but denies standing in the hope of securing immunity. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The end of the week will be mostly overcast, with occasional rain and snow in higher places. Daytime highs should range between 0 and plus 6 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, coalition talks on an emerging centre-right government hit a stumbling block, and public institutions are scrambling to spend leftover funds for 2013. Later on in Panorama, we speak to an expert on art and antiques, Jan Skřivánek, about the record year for Czech auction houses. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Three-party talks between the Social Democrats, ANO and Christian Democrats on forming a new government have hit a major stumbling block. The Christian Democrats are insisting on their party running the Ministry of Agriculture. The party, led by Pavel Bělobrádek, has 14 MPs in the new parliament, which is far fewer than ANO's 47 and the Social Democrats' 50. It has already been complaining about the number of ministries, two instead of three, it will be able to run in a future coalition government. Now a new battle is afoot, with the party threatening to abandon the coalition altogether if the agriculture ministry falls under the influence of Agrofert head and ANU leader Andrej Babiš. Dominic Yoon asked political analyst Eric Best for his take on why this ministry has become a major battleground.
There is certainly a bit of a question why all of a sudden the Christian Democrats are so interested in it, when they haven't really shown that much interest in it in the previous weeks. Apparently what is happening is they are trying to prevent it from going to Mr. Babiš of ANU, and the Christian Democrats feel that if Mr. Babiš has it, then he will control too much of the agriculture market, and they have a large portion of their electorate that is somehow connected to the agricultural market.
Do you think the Christian Democrats have a point? Do you think it would be wrong, for example, for the ANU party to control the Ministry of Agriculture?
I think it's becoming apparent that Mr. Babiš's goal from the start of government negotiations has been to take control of the agricultural section. And he is the head of the largest agribusiness in the country, Agrofert. And the first indication of this was when he put his own chief lieutenant from Agrofert into the position of the chairman of the Agricultural Committee of Parliament. And at the same time, they started talking about how they could not have the agriculture ministry because it would be a conflict of interest. This has progressed to the point where yesterday, in today's newspaper, Mr. Babiš says, well, we actually would not have a conflict of interest. So what is anyone upset about? We do not have a conflict of interest. There's no reason for us not to have the ministry, but perhaps we will give it to the Social Democrats in the interest of reaching an agreement with our coalition partners. But we do not want it to go to the Christian Democrats because they would abuse it in the realm of church restitution.
Could you explain what exactly is the fear with regards to church restitutions and how the Ministry of Agriculture would be a place where that could be influenced?
The Christian Democrats want the church restitution to go through without any trouble. That means they want the property, the land, the forests to be returned to the churches. The Social Democrats have based their arguments, their platform, largely on saying that they will reduce the amount that will be distributed. And the land office that is actually in control of deciding which specific property meets the criteria and will be released is controlled by the agriculture ministry. And the person in charge of that office is appointed by the minister himself. Now, Mr. Babiš's party is not directly involved in that dispute, but if his party does not get along very well with the minister, then that could affect it in terms of farm subsidies, in terms of contracts for forest, for timber, because Mr. Babiš is also now in the timber business. So there is a triangle there of diverse interests that revolve around the agriculture ministry, and it really comes down to money, power, and relationships with the voters.
Do you think Pavel Bělohradek, the Christian Democrat leader, is trying to play a role that doesn't reflect the size of his electoral mandate?
As an analyst, I was impressed with his early negotiations. I think more recently he's taking a bit of a risk because he's making some ultimatums saying that if we don't get what we want, we will be happy to go into the opposition. And he might be underestimating Mr. Babiš, who is a very fierce negotiator who has done this many, many times, not on the government level, but on the business level.
Political analyst Eric Best speaking there to Dominic Yoon. Moving on now, with less than a fortnight to go before the end of the year, the Czech Environment Ministry has decided to allocate some of the remaining annual budget to the very last public tender for promotional items, some of which have raised eyebrows. Public institutions see these kind of end-of-year spending sprees as necessary, but critics simply see them as a waste of public funds. Marsha Walensky has the details.
The last-minute tender in question, written out for promotional materials for the Environment Ministry's Czech Nature campaign, should cost around 6,000 crowns, a relatively small amount for a ministry budget. What irks the Czech media is what the money will be spent on. The list of items the ministry wants to buy for this money sounds a bit like a well-known song, The 12 Days of Christmas. 6,000 pens, crayons, bags, umbrellas and stickers, 200 cufflinks and scarves. And the item that has got many riled up is the order for 1,000 pieces of underwear, with a picture of a beaver on women's knickers and the cormorant bird on the male trunks. Critics have noted not only the inappropriate connotations of the images, but also the unlikely promotional value of the items. The outgoing environment minister Tomasz Podziwiński is convinced of the opposite, with the news server Lidovky.cz quoting him as saying that this is a way to make the media talk about the environment, and that it will help people realize that we have to continuously care for our birds and beavers. The well-known environmental advocacy group Friends of the Earth Czech Republic was unimpressed. The group's expert on forestry, Jaromír Blaha, told me this is not the first blunder of the Czech Nature campaign.
The campaign to promote Czech nature began some time ago under the previous minister, with billboards featuring the invasive plant big-leaved lupine, which originally comes from North America. The problem is that the ministry actually spends millions of crowns trying to keep this invasive breed in check. The newest racy element of the campaign is the underwear. I consider this to be greenwashing, at a time when the ministry allows nature in some parts of the country to be destroyed. Using public money for the promotion of nature is hypocritical.
The Environment Ministry provided no comment to Radio Prague before this program aired, but beyond undergarments and cufflinks, the ministry tried to spend out the last millions left in the budget for other things. In a slightly controversial move, especially for the Environment Ministry, Mr. Podziwiński announced recently that he plans to replace the ministry's full fleet of 130 cars with new vehicles, costing tens of millions of crowns. There was no indication that the new vehicles will be especially environmentally friendly. But the Environment Ministry is not alone in its last-ditch attempts to spend the full annual budget by the end of the year by allocating more money to promotional campaigns with relatively little impact. The Czech Supreme Audit Office is planning to look into four promotional campaigns of the Agriculture Ministry, which have all at some point or another received very similar rushed end-of-year financial injections.
Marsha Volinsky with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, Panorama, in which Marsha looks at how Czech art auction houses have done in 2013 and also how the auction's bidders have changed.
This year is shaping up to be the second consecutive record year for art auction houses in the Czech Republic. Although no single painting surpassed the top selling price from last year, the volume of artwork sold seems to have grown. According to Jan Skřivánek, the editor-in-chief of the specialized magazine Art and Antiques, says buyers in this country are becoming increasingly knowledgeable about the offering at local auction houses. When we spoke earlier, he began by giving me an overview of how Czech auctions fared in 2013.
Well, it looks like this year will be the best ever in terms of the annual turnover. We don't have the exact numbers yet, but we expect that the combined sum that collectors and investors spent at the art auctions in Czech Republic will be over 900 million crowns. Last year, 2012, was the record year, and it was the turnover was about 880 million crowns. And this year looks like it will be even better.
And as you said, last year was a record year. Was it surprising for you and for other experts in the field that this year is going to surpass it?
I think it has been. Last year, really, only one artwork in particular took care for a significant amount of the turnover when Kupka's painting The Shape of Blue sold for I think it was 57 million crowns. And this year there hasn't been any painting in comparable price. The most expensive painting of this year cost 18.5 million crowns. So the fact that the combined sum is still higher means that there's a great number of works that sell above 1 million, or even prices above 5 and above 10 million are more common there than they used to be.
And have you seen a change in the type of buyers and bidders that have been participating in the auctions this year?
I wouldn't say that in this year. I think that the trends or what's going on, it's usually slower, and I don't think there is some significant new group of buyers that are coming to the market. But it's true that in past, let's say, 2 years or maybe 3 years, the buyers, they are much more educated, or are willing to, or are able to get good advisors, and they are willing to pay top prices for important pieces. So it's not that much about the name or style, but it's about each significant piece, that the offer that has a average on certain level can sell for, I don't know, 3 to 5 times what normal average price if the painting or the piece is significant. And we are witnesses of that, I think, much more often lately. For example, this year we noticed about 60 or more auction or price records for individual artists. And it was in all different categories. It was for post-war art, for Mikuláš Medek, whose painting sold for 6 million crowns. It was for 19th century Václav Brožík, who sold, I think, for about 4 million. It was for classical, modern, and in all different categories, and not only in case of the paintings that already cost millions, but also in case of paintings that usually sell for, I don't know, 50 to 100,000 crowns, and then suddenly some significant piece will sell for 300,000. So I think the buyers are more advanced, and it's I think, a very positive sign for the market that it has certain rationale to it, that the people are looking for quality and are willing to pay for the quality, that it's not just a game of names and showing off.
Might this have something to do with the fact that the financial situation around the world and in the Czech Republic is not very stable right now? We're just getting out of a recession, and maybe buyers are looking to invest, maybe more than collect, and they're counting on being able to resell these pieces.
Right. It's always hard to distinguish who's a collector and who's investor, because even the most passionate collectors usually have somewhere back in their minds that, well, if the hard times will come, I will be able to sell it. And on the other side, the most cynical investors often become collectors as well, because they will fall in love with the art. I think this phenomenon of investing in art we could see in 2009, at first phase of the economical crisis, when investors were really looking for other options. And at that year, there were more paintings by Václav Špála that sold above 1 million crowns in that 1 year than in the previous 20 years. And Špála is sort of a typical case for, if you want to invest, you want something that will always have a market, that's quite liquid. So at least that was my reading of the situation, that those were the new investors that were just looking for ways where to put their, I don't know, few million. The situation that we see in last 2 or 3 years, I think, is different. The what I was saying about how the collectors or the buyers are more knowledgeable, I think that's more typical for a collector or someone who's in it for a long time, who is able to distinguish other factors in the artworks than those which are purely economical. And also from investors' point of view, art makes sense as a long-time investment, but the image that you will buy a painting, have it for 2 to 3 years, and then to sell it and make profit on it, that's not that easy. And when we try to trace back some of the paintings that came back for second or third time in past 10 years, we found out that only, I think, that 1/3 of those paintings didn't sell. And those who made profit of it, I think it would be only like 1/4 of them or something. So making a profit is not that easy. And when you hear the numbers that something 2 or 5 years ago it sold for some price and now it's sold for higher price, it still doesn't mean that the seller made a profit on it. And actually, to be just even, you need the price of the artwork to raise by 30%, which mm-hmm. is quite a lot.
So you don't really think that it's the economic crisis or the recession that has spurred more people to buy right. art?
I think it helped 4 years ago that it helped to introduce art market to different buyers than those who already have been there. Now, I don't think that the situation is that someone would consider, should I invest into the stocks or into the paintings, and then decide, well, I don't trust stocks, I will buy a painting. I don't think it works that way at this point. I think that nowadays there are good opportunities even investing at a stock market. So those who invest or collect art have different reasons for that than just the economical.
And just looking ahead, do you have any predictions about the next year, how auction houses will do and how Czech art will right. do around the world as well?
Well, I'm always quite skeptical. I didn't expect that this year will be better than the previous one. Was. So again, I don't believe that the next year could be any better. And I think for some time, the prices will stay at the current level. We will still hear about the auction records. We will still hear about number of paintings sold above 10 million crowns and so on. But I don't expect that any time soon we will hear about Czech paintings sold above 20 million crowns. There has been only couple paintings by František Kupka, who's already above this level, and there was one painting by Toyen that sold above 20 million crowns, but that's it. And I don't expect this price would be overcome any time soon. So I think that the art market will do fine, but I don't think that we will witness any dynamic growth. I think if it will stay at the current level or maybe a little bit under the current level, it will be still very, very, very good situation, and the auction houses could be only happy for that.
That was art and antiques expert Jan Skrivanek there, ending that edition of Panorama by Marcia Walensky. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.